Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're getting an update from Gold Short Resources, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol GSHR and on the OTCQB under the symbol GSHRF. We are chatting with the President and CEO, Brent Richards. Now, Gold Short is an emerging gold development company that owns the Moss Lake Gold Project in Ontario. One thing to note is that Wesdome Gold Mines is also a strategic shareholder of Gold Short with approximately a 30% equity position. Now, this Moss Lake project, it's a large project that consists of a number of gold and base metal deposits. This includes the Moss Lake deposit and the East Coldstream deposit. There is a historic resource from Moss Lake and East Coldstream that totals around 4 million ounces. Majority of that, 3.5 million ounces from the Moss Lake deposit. And those are indicated and inferred to bring that 4 million ounce number up there. Now, Brett, to recap and bring everybody up to speed on the work plans that were actually started last year in July. Company had a big drill program plan that was unfortunately interrupted a little bit by forest fires. Can you give us a little recap of last year, mostly in the second half of the year, the drill program, what happened, how far you're through that program right now, please?
Yeah, thanks, Corey and Shad, for having me on. Yeah, so last year was really, we didn't start trading until kind of June the 4th. We got organized. You know, you go through a process on early startups where you know, you have permitting, you have trail permitting, you have drill permitting, and you have water use permitting that you have to get through. And just when we were kind of getting ready to mobilize, we ran into the forest fire situation in the west, from all the way from BC right to Red Lake and then down into Thunder Bay. And that demobilized us for about 2 months. We weren't able to actually move rigs, let alone run them. But we used the time wisely. We got a lot of work done on the ground, and then we slowly kind of went into our program as the weather changed. And we got through about, you know, maybe about 8,000 meters in the last quarter of last year. We got a couple of results out. And I think what we did was we took a lot of the detail and information that was gathered on the geophysics survey. If you remember, we did a big VTEM survey with Geotech in the spring and summer. And we took that, got the interpretation done. And that started to kind of put down really, really good quality drill targets. So I didn't want to put the cart before the horse in any event. We had lots of kind of catch up work to do, but you know, I wanted to get into the ground and we wanted to get some results out in the market because that's what everyone wants to see. Everyone wants to see that this is a real project. And when I wave my arms about creating the next tier one asset in Ontario, they want to see if it's real, right?
Well, Brett, they do, and people do love drill results, but we do like knowing that there's a larger plan in place. And so just from more of a high level on this drill program, you have that 100,000 meter ongoing program, but I believe you have four rigs on the ground. And when we had talked last time, you'd kind of mentioned about 2/3 of it would be infill just to keep building out the resources and upgrading categories, and about 1/3 would be scout drilling. Could you talk about where some of the new drilling will be taking place, just a couple targets or a general sense of how you'll be growing the deposit?
Yeah, that's a great question. I get asked this a lot because people want to understand the size and the scale and the potential. Yeah, when I talk about a tier one asset, you know, tier one asset being kind of 10 million ounces with a 10-year mine life, a generational kind of mine. And we took the approach that we were going to go right back to basics, very comprehensive. Yes, use all the existing data, but create a whole bunch of new data based on our thesis that this was much longer, much wider, and much deeper. Yes, the first few holes, Pete Flindell, who's our VP of exploration up in Thunder Bay, he let them run, and we let them run down, you know, 700-800 meters, true depth about 600 meters. And then we had some azimuths on 60-degree angles kind of hitting through the existing resource. So we tested that thesis, and that is, this is mineralized well below the existing resource, which it is. It's mineralized well laterally of the existing resource, which it is, because drilling laterally to the kind of north-northeast is not that easy. And I think Moss Lake took the view that they were just going to hit the easy targets and put together a resource. But we're trying to put together a project. And I think that's where we differentiate ourselves. So yeah, I would say about 1/2 to 2/3 of the drilling we do will be infill, triangulating, trying to bring in kind of the resource into a higher quality and verifying kind of the existing resource. But the results we're getting, and you can see it in the first kind of four press releases we put out, because we're doing all the drilling right now at Moss Lake. We're up on top of the marshy area, you know, up on top of the ice, drilling down straight through so we can hit the angles and we can hit the sides from in the spring, summer. So we're getting a lot of the same. And, you know, we're getting 1.2, 1.3, 1.4 grams over 100 meters consistently in a lot of the holes and throughout the hole. So I'm excited that what we see was what we expected. And the geophysics is guiding us very well, and we're getting some really good quality targets. We've got the program laid out for the rest of the year. We'll get through the 100,000 meters this year, and that's kind of how we've laid things out. We will probably crank up. You mentioned about four rigs. That's true. We'll probably put some additional rigs on in the spring, summer, so we can start to extend some of these other targets and get drilling up to the northeast in Coldstream and North Coldstream and Iris, because these big carbon expressions, I think they're going to deliver a really, really interesting result. And that is, we may have copper, gold, silver, possibly lead, zinc, moly. Who knows? We're going to do multi-element assaying up there on our first few holes to see what's going on. But I'm excited about kind of hitting that area, because there was a historic mine there, if you remember, North Coldstream, that ran from 1980 to 1992, and it was only shut down because of the copper price. It wasn't shut down because they ran out of resources. And then the second real exciting thing I think we're going to hit is Hamlin and Hamlin Lake area, where we've seen kind of just under a gram and 0.35% copper over 150, 60 meters, which is very, very meaningful. So we need to test that target as well. These two areas are going to be quite exciting to test. And yes, we'll be continuing on with the infill program at Moss Lake. And then I would say around August, we'll start to see how all this starts to hang together. And then we can start and put in some strategic holes, guided by our geophysics still, but some strategic holes to maximize the kind of size of the resource, the width of the resource, so that we can pull in as much resource at depth as possible to make this pit shell when we redo the PEA. So we can make it as large as possible at the end of the day. And that's what the whole goal was of driving towards becoming a tier one asset in Ontario, was making this much, much larger than what Moss Lake had.
So Brett, just to set expectations here for investors, the resource that I mentioned earlier on, right around a gram per ton. In the indicated, it's up to 1.08 grams per ton. In the inferred, it's 0.98 grams per ton. Recent news release on January 17th also said that Gold Shore intersected 3+1 gram per ton gold zones over 810 meters in drill hole 7. These results range from little over a gram per ton up to 3.5 grams per ton. Should investors, can they expect any high grade areas here, or is this broadly right around a gram per ton, continuing to grow the resource incrementally at all these different zones that you've mentioned?
Yeah, great question. I think we're going to see a lot of 1 gram to 1.2 gram material. That's kind of what this has been so far. Are we seeing some high grade areas and sections? Sure, we will. And I think that's probably not meaningful enough to say, you know, hey, maybe this is going to be a starter pit area, or this is so significant that, you know, it has to be looked at first. I don't think that's the case. I just think it brings more material into the wireframe, brings more material into the resource as a result of that. And now you can start and look at, you might have the optionality to look at, you know, bringing up the cutoff grade, starting to look at variability and options that way to optimize and maximize the project economics. And that's something that we're, like I say, we'll get into that in August or September of this year prior to kind of finishing the program. You know, and I'm going to say this, and sure enough, we're going to put out a press release about high grade results, but this is not the style of deposition that's going to deliver 20 grams over, you know, 10 meters or 5 meters or 100 grams over 5 meters. This isn't really that style of deposit. It's very disseminated. It's hosted. There's a shear zone host to this that makes for it to be kind of very disseminated. Now, that doesn't apply up in Coldstream, where we have a bit of a VMS style deposit. And you can see some of the historic, really wacky grades up in Iris, like 250 grams over half a meter. And, you know, some really, really kind of interesting stuff, 11 grams over 8 meters. And then going down further southwest towards Moss Lake, you get 1.12 grams over 111 meters, 4.5 grams over 20 meters. So you've got a lot of things going on because it's different geology. But I think at Moss Lake, I think we're just going to see a really, really solid project in and around a gram, possibly north of a gram, but in and around a 1 gram.
Well, Brett, let's just dig into this one more moment here, because I think there's a big part of investor sentiment and perceptions towards projects, especially retail investors, more so than institutionals, flock towards high-grade hits, and they're not always economic. And so a company may put out a zinger of a drill result, but they can't tie it together. There's no continuity. But then you're sitting here continuously putting out 100-plus meters. I mean, I'm looking at some of the ones from December that you put out on the 8th, and it was 117 meters of 1.26 grams per ton. You did have some higher-grade elements in there, over 2 grams per ton, 2.4 grams per ton. You have 8 meters of 2.53. But in general, most of your drill intercepts that you put out so far are really long intercepts of about a gram per ton. Some investors would dismiss that and say, well, that's not that interesting. But explain to investors why a project of this size with already 4 million ounces, but you think a lot more, maybe even the ability to double that, why that would be an economic project and why it's a project that the majors would be interested in.
Okay, I'll unpack that because there's a few questions in there. But the first question, the correlation between kind of grade and distance in some of the, you know, some of the juniors who put out high grade intercepts and, you know, they put out 10 grams or 20 grams, over a half a meter or 1 meter or something. And these quartz vein systems that host this, they may not all tie together and they may be so deep that it just may not be economic to get down 90 or 100 meters to see some of that grade. And it requires intense infill drilling. The infill drilling to pull some of that up to M&I is probably going to be 5 meters. It is really, really difficult to hang it together because it's highly variable and it's not spread over wide areas. So it makes it very difficult to make it all work together. Some sexy stuff sometimes, but it's really, you can just imagine how you mine a half a meter section of, down 150 meters. But when you start to have this disseminated, call it an earth moving exercise where you're creating a large pit and the majority of it goes to the processing plant. You got under 3-to-1 strip ratio. So, three trucks are going to go left and one truck's going to go to the plant. That makes it very easy. You can grade control by eye. It's very easy to grade control and you don't make many mistakes. So the variability in putting a project like that together is very predictable. So it makes it much easier. And when you have the size and scale, 4 million ounces is big, and don't get me wrong, I've built mines on 1 million ounces in West Africa and in Indonesia. This 4 million ounces is a great starting point and is probably a project on its own. Yeah, it's $900 million in CapEx, and it has a $576 million post-tax NPV at this project level today at $1,700 gold. That's a project, but we just think it can be so much bigger because the big guys look for a number of things. Yes, I talk about size and scale, and they look for that because they don't want to spend the effort, the management time, the technical team time, the capital. They don't want to spend something that is done and dusted in 1 year, 150,000 ounce profile for 7 years, and you're done and you're in care and maintenance or you're into closure. They don't want that. They want to spend as equal amount of much time on big projects that are generational mines that go on for 20 and 30 years, and you can continue to expand them based on the geology, and you can continue to make them work. And the lower risk, yes, it's big capital, but the lower risk when it comes to processing and ultimately production is a fact that these are well-known mineralized deposits with a very little variability. It's great to see the high-grade intercepts we get because it brings down that variability and increases the probability that we can deliver on both tonnage and grade. And that's what the big guys want at the end of the day. So the differentiating factor is you can have some really, really sexy stuff out there. It doesn't mean anything. And let's look at Iris for a second. I'm not sure Iris Lake here on our very, very northwest extreme of our property boundary is actually going to be enough to be something or a maiden resource or cold stream be a maiden resource, because we're looking at different geology. Yes, the gold grade is quite high, but they drilled these out in 2011. And if you remember, the gold price went up to $1,918 on September 11th in 2011. And they didn't even assay for copper. So until we get a better understanding of that area, you know, for me, it's a copper mine with a big gold byproduct. And that's what it is, because that's what North Coldstream was. And this all has to be data driven and factual driven. So the high grade intercepts don't tell all the story. The low grade stuff is very, it's like a stay at home defenseman. It gets the job done for the long term.
I like that analogy, the stay-at-home defenseman. You need to build a team around some of those guys. But I guess to the point here, you're seeing consistency over some long widths, and you have a lot of other exploration areas. You did also, at the beginning of this interview, mention a couple of the early-on drill holes that you guys let run further, deeper in the system. Where do you see some of the focus being? I understand you're drilling both near surface and deeper at some of these other targets, but are you spending a little bit more time at some of the near surface mineralization, or are you going to continue to go deep at all of these targets that you're drilling?
Yeah, I think we'll go deep along strike and laterally, probably in 500 meter spaces, so that we can at least pull an inferred resource together at depth, because I think that's meaningful enough to look at when we put a pit shell on this. You know, I look at Detour as an example. Their life of mine pit shell is, I think, 680 meters. And that's not uncommon. I've worked on many mines in my career where we've been south of 600 meters. And there are actually mines that go over 1,000 meters deep. But the moral of that story is, in order to get a resource that hangs together into a PEA, we do need the lateral width in order to go deeper. And the strike is known to us because it is mineralized and we have mineralized drill holes along it. So there is some infill to expand out the 2.5 meter strike that we have, but also increasing the 400 meter width is really going to allow us to go deeper. So it is not a silver bullet. We're just going to do this. We're doing a number of things to make it wider so we can bring in kind of deeper resources down the road. And then, yes, we will be stepping it out along the way. This trend is quite significant. And I think, you know, what we're going to do for the market is we're going to kind of break all of this down into layman's terms in a couple of weeks, because we now have all of the 3D inversion models of the geophysics that were flown. And this really gives a good indication of our strategy. And I can talk about it, but when you actually see it pictorially, I think it'll do a wonder of good for the market, for the average retail guy to say, you know, why does Brett say this? And why are they looking here? And why are they doing this? And you'll see it quite easily. And Pete and I are going to kind of explain it in layman's terms, just so we can keep the market with us as we go along. They'll know why we're drilling, where we're drilling, and why we're drilling where we're drilling. So I think that'll be a useful tool for everyone to kind of, you know, bring together, and they'll understand this much better.
Well, Brett, just remind everybody of what the general budget is for this year and what kind of cash the company has in the treasury.
For sure. We've got about $15 million in the bank today. If you remember, we went out to the market in November. We put together $10 million flow, both traditional flow and charity flow through. So we're sitting with about $15 million. We're burning about $1.3 million or $1.4 million right now, but we're not cranked up. You know, we have limitations in the wintertime. We have to take advantage of the ice and the weather on top of the marshy area at Snodgrass Lake. So we have to take advantage of that time. So we're putting all the rigs up on the ice. When we start to kind of peel off of there, we'll probably go up to 5, possibly even 6 or 7 rigs kind of in the spring or summer. We're going to burn more cash. And as a result, we'll probably go up to more like $2 million, maybe slightly higher, but maybe a couple of $1 million a month. So let's say we're well positioned. But, you know, and I don't try and hide this from anybody. A lot of guys play games with this. You can do the simple math. You know, we need $22, $23 million to get through our program. We have 15 in the bank, and I'll go raise some money when it's available. And when I think our share price warrants and the gold market warrants and the money is available, I like to raise money when it's available, not when I need it. But I don't need it for several months. So I've got some time to see how this market unfolds. Because as you know, and we were talking before the program, this is a pretty interesting market that we've entered into in January and February.
Yes, it is, Brett. But hey, you guys have a big program underway. Undoubtedly, drill results to come out throughout the year and drilling to continue throughout the year. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Brett regarding anything going on at Gold Shore Resources, please email us either fleck at kereport.com or shad at kereport.com. And Brett, keep us up to date on future news. We'll get you back on the show. This is a very interesting story and a lot of work still underway. Thanks again for your time today, Brett. Have a great rest of your week.
Yep. Thanks, guys. Take care.